News Talk 830 WCCO KMNB HD2 Minneapolis St. Paul, a radio.com station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. Pennsylvania just started counting ballots again this morning as the nation awaits the results of the presidential election. Democrat Joe Biden addressed the nation last night from Delaware.
We're going to win this race.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports Biden has work to do if he wins, and there are other election results still out there.
If he wins in the coming days, he's expected to turn his attention to top White House appointments and cabinet positions. But all of that would be complicated by the still unresolved balance of power in the Senate, which, of course, won't be resolved until those two special elections down in Georgia.
The president just tweeted, "I won this election by a lot." And CBS's Paula Reed reports the Trump campaign is not giving up its legal battle.
Advisors say this legal battle should have been mapped out months ago, but nobody wanted to discuss the possibility of losing with the president. Now they are focused on challenging the outcome in Pennsylvania. But if Biden wins by a large enough margin in that state, even the Supreme Court won't be able to help.
In the city of brotherly love, where both Biden and the president campaigned more than a dozen times, Mayor Jim Kenney has some advice for Mr. Trump.
I think what the president needs to do is, frankly, put his big boy pants on. He needs to acknowledge the fact that he lost, and he needs to congratulate the winner.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy reports that the president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, has tested positive for COVID-19, and CBS News has confirmed that senior Trump campaign official Nick Traynor also tested positive for the virus.
Exactly when Mark Meadows was diagnosed with COVID isn't clear. But the president's top aide has been seen without a mask several times this week, including in the East Room early Wednesday as Mr. Trump prematurely declared victory. Later Wednesday, Meadows huddled with senior advisors at Trump campaign headquarters. Sources say Jared Kushner and Vice President Pence were with Meadows in the meeting.
More election results coming in. You stay tuned to CBS News. That's coming along right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2020, America Decides.
CBS News is projecting that Democrat Joe Biden has been elected president, having just called the state of Pennsylvania for him with 20 electoral votes. The former vice president told the nation last night he was going to win.
We have serious problems to deal with, from COVID to the economy to racial justice to climate change. We don't have any more time to waste. And partisan warfare.
There had been a wait for battleground states, including Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona, and workers have been frantically counting ballots. Election law expert David Becker said it was a lot of work.
Be able to count all of those ballots, it seems like it's taking a long time, but actually when we've got a million volunteers who are working around the clock, we're doing an amazing job of counting all these ballots as quickly as we can in such a close election.
Again, CBS News is projecting that Democrat Joe Biden has been elected president of the United States. CBS News Special Report, I'm Allison Keyes.
Right now, let's get back to CBS News.
Say it's Nevada, let's say it's Georgia, and let's even say it's Arizona, although the Trump campaign would dispute it. That would give Biden 306 electoral votes.
Oh, my.
And that is as many as President Trump had 4 years ago, Peter Mayer, when he said he won in a landslide.
A tremendous landslide, he said. Well, we'll have to see how he reacts to this. As you say, interestingly enough, he's on the golf course today, and no doubt his aides have told him about this, and he's probably whacking at that golf ball harder than ever, don't you think?
I think it's very possible. the high watermark for Democrats in recent elections was in 1996 in terms of electoral votes. That was hit by Bill Clinton in, with 379 electoral votes. That year, he won 31 states and the District of Columbia. In 1936, however, the Democratic record for electoral votes was taken by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 523 electoral votes. That year, he won 46 states out of the 48 then part of the Union. For Republicans, the high watermark was Ronald Reagan in 1984 with 525 electoral votes. Reagan won 49 states in 1984. And the closest electoral margin, which we will not see in this race, was in the year 2000, where George W. Bush won 271 electoral votes. And sure, Steve Futterman, we'll come back to you.
You're not supposed to hear that. Come on, that's live radio.
Right. Go ahead, sir.
You know, I'm also wondering, Peter and Stephen, are other Republicans going to join in congratulating Joe Biden? At what point will they do that? Will former President George W. Bush? Will he say something? Will we have other, obviously, former Democratic presidents probably will. But what about some traditional Republicans who maybe opposed Donald Trump at some point, but then became on their side? Lindsey Graham, a longtime close friend of Joe Biden, once in a very moving video talked about him, I'm paraphrasing here, being about one of the nicest human beings he's ever met. I think he said, if you don't like Joe Biden, there's something wrong with you. When will we see some of the members of the Republican Party accept this? You know, they talk about those stages when people are facing very difficult illnesses, and there's first denial, and then that slow acceptance, and then you finally do accept it. How long will this take? This is going to be, to me, a very fascinating period of time. When will we see this move to the acceptance of Joe Biden? And what about foreign countries? Will they now start to congratulate Joe Biden, knowing that they have to deal with Donald Trump till January 20th?
Bottom line is, as of this moment, the president-elect of the United States is 77-year-old Joseph R. Biden Jr., who would become the and will become the oldest man ever to take the oath of office. Peter Mayer, your thoughts?
Well, as I was saying, you know, if Trump refuses to deliver a concession speech, it would be the first time in 125 years of presidential history. The first concession came in a telegram from William Jennings Bryant to then President McKinley. And, you know, fast forwarding very much so to today, Stephen, it would have to worsen the political divide in the country if Donald Trump did not concede once he clears the cobwebs of all of the legal endeavors that no doubt they're going to continue to pursue. And I think in their own minds, in the minds of all the millions of Republican voters who came out for him, he has to pursue to the nth degree, to satisfy them and to satisfy himself. After all, he is the most litigious president in history, given all of the lawsuits that he filed as a businessman. So this is part of his DNA. And, there have been a lot of reports in the background from various media that aides have been trying to tell him there's no legal path to defeat this outcome. So you cover him every day. Where do you think this is going to go? How long do you think he's going to stay with this legal pursuit?
Well, it'll depend on whatever arguments that he is able to make. Look, sources close to the president have told us that he has been in recent days hopeful that perhaps the situation for him could change, but also at times sullen. It was said to be angry that more of his allies had not been rallying to his side, and perhaps that's a reflection of the simple mathematics and the numbers, and seeing all these totals come in and trending in the same direction over the course of several days as mail-in ballots had been counting. The president appeared to be hoping that lawsuits would cure the deficits that he faced as a result of the continued counting in many states. You know, he tweeted early in this process, "Stop the count." Of course, it was pointed out to him at a certain point that if you stopped the count at the point that he called for it, Joe Biden would be elected president because he was leading in those states. He seemed to want to stop the count in certain states where he was falling behind, but continue the count in other places. He made unsubstantiated allegations of fraud in cities such as Detroit and Philadelphia. He tweeted that perhaps his leads would return as our legal proceedings move forward. That was a tweet late yesterday, but no court ordered an end to the tallying. And in fact, courts had rejected the Republican allegations of fraud as mere speculation and hearsay without evidence. And so that's the situation this morning. You know, the Trump campaign has tried to seek intervention at the Supreme Court on a very narrow question having to do with ballots in Pennsylvania that would have come in after Tuesday's deadline, but after Tuesday's poll closing, I should say, but postmarked before that poll closing, or put in the mail before that poll closing, arriving through yesterday. The question that presented itself to the Supreme Court, which is not quite clear that the Supreme Court was going to take up, and it may not at this point even be necessary for the court to take up, but it would be whether the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania had the power under the U.S. Constitution to allow voters in that state 3 more days to have their ballots be received at elections officials' headquarters. Let's turn to Biden campaign headquarters in Wilmington, Delaware, and CBS reporter Bo Erickson. Bo?
Hi, Stephen. Today in Delaware, Joe Biden, I'm already told, is very excited. He's been with his family the past couple of days. It's almost been like a holiday celebration the past couple of days because he's with the people who he wants to be with the most, his family. It is very exciting for staffers. There was some shouting throughout the area here in Wilmington, Delaware as well. We are told by two sources that Joe Biden and Senator Kamala Harris are expected to address the country later this evening.
Bo Erickson with the Biden campaign, with the president-elect of the United States. I'm Stephen Portnoy as we continue our CBS News special report. Joe Biden, by our projection, has been elected the 46th president. And as you heard from Bo Erickson, who's covered this campaign from its initiation last year, is expected to address the country as the choice. The current popular vote has Joe Biden with 50.5% of the total popular vote nationwide. President Trump with 47.7%. But what matters more than that, of course, all that matters, is the Electoral College. And by our CBS News estimate, President-elect Biden has 273 electoral votes, and President Trump has 213. For the moment, there's been no comment from the White House or the Trump campaign or the president himself on Twitter. He has been at his Virginia golf course for the last short while this morning. It is a beautiful day in Washington. Unseasonably warm, and it seemed the president wanted to take the opportunity, not having left the White House since a brief stop to his campaign headquarters on Tuesday, to enjoy some fresh air and some golf. But for the moment, no reaction yet. The Trump campaign had intended to have, at this hour, a press conference with Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer, Pam Bondi, a former attorney general of Florida, who were going to, we were told, make some kind of argument for why this election, in their mind, had been stolen from President Trump. But all of those arguments, when offered in court, had been rejected by judges in various jurisdictions and states, with the point of being that no evidence had been offered. CBS's Steve Futterman is with us. Steve, where do you see this story going today?
Well, obviously, it's going to be the issue of when does President Trump accept this? And, you know, we've seen in history when leaders are told it's over. It's a dramatic, theatrical moment in some cases. We remember in 1974 when Barry Goldwater was one of three Republicans who had to go to the White House and tell Richard Nixon, your battle is over, you have to resign. It's going to be interesting, and it may take a while for the history books to record exactly what happens. But when will President Trump's, either his family members, top aides, Republican leaders, when will they go and tell him, sir, you've lost. We know you're not happy, but you've lost, and you have to accept this for the nation, for this country. And I think that's going to be one of the most dramatic moments. Again, we may not know about it for a while. This is something that sometimes we read later on in the history books. But what a moment. We know the personality of President Trump. What a difficult moment it's going to be for whoever comes in, whether it's his children, whether it's top aides, whether it's supporters on Capitol Hill. When will they come to him, and what will they tell him, and what will his reaction be?
Well, we don't know the answers to those questions yet, but we'll be sure to let you know as we wait. I will tell you, it's worth mentioning once more, the historic nature of the election of Kamala Harris as Vice President of the United States. First woman Vice President, first African-American, first Indian-American in the role. CBS's Peter Mayer. Your thoughts on that?
Remember, you know, when Geraldine Ferraro was nominated to be the vice presidential running mate with Walter Mondale and, of course, Sarah Palin for John McCain. So many times women have been mentioned, and, of course, Hillary Clinton 4 years ago in her presidential campaign and going down to defeat to Donald Trump. You know, George H.W. Bush, Stephen, was the last incumbent president to lose, and I know how very painful it was to him. I was in Houston that night when he was defeated by a young guy from Arkansas named Bill Clinton. And, of course, they later became very good friends. And in Houston that night, he spoke of, quote, the majesty of the democratic system, that America must always come first, so we will get behind this new president and wish him well. And 2016, Hillary Clinton, following her tremendous loss to Donald Trump, a tremendous personal loss, of course, to her, any candidate who loses any race, be it for mayor all the way up to the presidency. But she said, Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and a chance to lead. Our constitutional democracy enshrines a peaceful transfer of power. Again, a bit of history, and Steve Futterman pointed out so aptly, someone is going to sometime get to Donald Trump and say, it's over. Maybe not today. Maybe they're going to say, you know, this is the fake media calling this, and we can't abide by it. We have to go to court. We're going to win this thing still, even though, based on what we're hearing in the precedents of the lower courts and the Supreme Court itself, that seems to be a very remote possibility at this time.
Indeed, it does, Peter. There's no sign of well wishes coming from the president or his campaign. And we've just received a statement from the president, and I hesitate to read it in full because it's very lengthy, but I'll try to summarize it. It runs 3.5 paragraphs. He essentially says that Joe Biden is rushing to falsely pose as the winner. And I'll quote, "The simple fact is this election is far from over. Joe Biden has not been certified as the winner of any states, let alone any of the highly contested states headed for mandatory recounts, or states where our campaign has valid and legitimate legal challenges that could determine the ultimate victor." The statement from the president, in his own words, or at least quoted, attributed to him, says that beginning on Monday, the campaign will start prosecuting the case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld and the rightful winner is seated. Quote, this is the quote from the president. "What is Biden hiding? I will not rest until the American people have the honest vote count they deserve and that democracy demands." This goes on to complain that Trump campaign observers have not been allowed to watch some of the counting as closely as they would have liked. Allowed into the room, but perhaps not 6 feet behind the tabulators as they've gone through the ballots. Peter Mayer, not exactly the kind of statement that I guess matches with others in history.
No, as we were saying earlier, you know, the word loser is not something in Donald Trump's vocabulary when it comes to himself, only for others. And obviously he's going to pursue this, and that's the statement that you're hearing on what is his 209th outing at a golf course.
We hope to learn more about whatever the legal strategy is on the part of the Trump campaign. There was supposed to be at this hour a news conference at a landscaping company in Philadelphia where we had expected to hear from Rudy Giuliani, the president's private lawyer, and Pam Bondi, the former attorney general of the state of Florida, who seem to be representing the president in this matter. As I've mentioned, other attempts by the campaign to challenge particular circumstances in Michigan and in Georgia and in Nevada have so far not been met with any success on the part of the campaign. And in several instances, the judges have tossed the cases because they describe them as mere speculation or hearsay, accusations of fraud, and no court intervened to stop the counting as the president demanded, mainly on the basis that Trump campaign observers were not allowed close enough to access the or see the actual counting as they would like to see it. We'll have more as we continue our CBS News special report. I'm Stephen Portnoy. Stay with us.
CBS News Special Report, Election 2020, America Decides.
CBS News projections show Joe Biden has been elected as the 46th president of the United States. Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes put him over the top. CBS's Ed O'Keefe on how Mr. Biden's campaign manager got the news.
She had been on a run, and her mother called to tell her about the projection for Biden. She said, while entering an elevator, quote, "ecstatic, a great day for this country," she said, when she was asked by the pool reporters how she felt.
As for the president, here CBS's Ben Tracy.
The president just arrived at his golf course in Virginia. This is his 209th golf outing, a beautiful day here in Washington. Clearly, the president necessarily did not want to be here at the White House as this news was breaking across the country. We have been told by sources here at the White House that the president is angry and he's disappointed in how this has turned out, but that he's also been resigned to the fact that the math was just simply not in his favor.
And again, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected president and vice president. CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
we continue our special coverage, America Decides 2020, as CBS News projects Democrat Joe Biden is America's choice to lead the nation forward into the 2020s. Our CBS News estimate has Joe Biden with 273 electoral votes, three more than needed to clinch the presidency, and Donald Trump has 213 electoral votes. The popular vote margin is more than 4 million votes in Biden's favor, 74.5 million to Mr. Trump's 70.3 million, or 50.5% for Joe Biden and 47.7% for Donald Trump. Amid the worsening COVID pandemic and after four tumultuous years that saw the nation divide further into camps for and against Mr. Trump, a majority of Americans has decided through the Electoral College and certainly through the popular vote that they do not want four more years of the man who vowed to make America great again. However, the Trump campaign remains insistent that Joe Biden is not the victor of this race. In a statement issued a few moments ago, the president says, in his own words, at least in words attributed to him, the simple fact is this election is far from over. Joe Biden has not been certified as the winner of any states, and let alone any of the highly contested states that he says are headed for mandatory recounts. I understand. Do we have our reporter in Pennsylvania? I'll ask. We do not have our reporter in Pennsylvania. But the point of mandatory recounts, it's interesting. Looking at our tabulated vote total in Pennsylvania, which precipitated this projection, we have Joe Biden ahead of President Trump by 0.5 percentage points, which happens to be the threshold for an automatic recount in the state of Pennsylvania, 0.5 percentage points. Right now, it's Joe Biden with 3,345,724 votes to President Trump's 3,311,310 votes, or a difference of roughly 34,000 to 35,000 votes, which is just outside, it seems, or just very near the recount margin. Now, there are provisional ballots yet to be counted, and that process will play out over the next week or so, and each one of those provisional ballots in the state of Pennsylvania has to be adjudicated at public meetings with county boards of election going over it over the particular circumstance. Now, remember, a provisional ballot is something that's cast on election day at a polling place by someone who is not necessarily supposed to be voting at that time or place, or they haven't necessarily followed the rules. For example, they might have forgotten their driver's license or other ID. And therefore, they are, as a courtesy and as a means of allowing them to participate in the process, given a provisional ballot. Now, in the state of Pennsylvania, a unique circumstance with the huge percentage of people voting by mail, there's the possibility that people who brought their ballots or didn't bring their ballots to the polling place but had mailed them in, just a confusing situation there where people may have go on to the polling place and with their ballot in hand. And to help us explain all this is CBS's Zach Hudak, who's covered the Pennsylvania election very extensively. Zach, any explain the dynamic of provisional ballots and how that might play into the president's argument that this isn't over yet.
Stephen, provisional ballots are a typical thing in an election in Pennsylvania. They're essentially a paper ballot at the polls that you fill out if you have a problem with verifying your identity or kind of any other problem. For instance, if you applied to vote by mail and then decided not to, and that could even be that in the primary you had actually checked a box to automatically do so in general. If you did that and then didn't apply to vote by mail but wanted to vote in person, you would use a provisional ballot. There are a series of court challenges on these provisional ballots, but as of just a little bit ahead of us here, CBS has been able to call Pennsylvania, even taking those into consideration. So it looks unlikely that those would push President Trump back over the top.
So what is, as best you can describe it, Zach, what led to the CBS News projection? What data did we receive late this morning that pushed Biden over the edge?
We've been getting numbers from big counties like Allegheny, where Pittsburgh is, and they've just been numbers of the ballots they received by Election Day that they've still been counting. Keep in mind, these ballots take much longer to count than in-person ballots. You're opening multiple envelopes, flattening ballots, checking signatures before scanning them. I would also point out that there are still other court challenges going on. Pennsylvania is accepting ballots until yesterday, and there's a challenge on that. But all of these mail ballots, all the requests in the state, there are about 3.1 million, skew heavily Democratic. There were 63% from Democrats, 25% from Republicans, and the rest were other. So you can pretty safely assume that the mail ballots being counted are going to skew toward Biden. I think that has helped our decision desk come to this conclusion.
All right, Zach Hudak, thanks a lot, and thanks for all your coverage from Pennsylvania through this whole election cycle. We've received a statement from the president-elect, and I'll read it verbatim. It says, quote, "I am honored and humbled by the trust the American people have placed in me and in Vice President-elect Harris. In the face of unprecedented obstacles, a record number of Americans voted, proving once again that democracy beats deep in the heart of America. With the campaign over, it's time to put the anger and the harsh rhetoric behind us and come together as a nation. It's time for America to unite and to heal. We are the United States of America, and there's nothing we can't do if we do it together." The words of the president-elect, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., in a statement released a few moments ago. And that is what we know at this hour. President Trump is insisting that the election is not over, and that he says his campaign will begin going into court on Monday to prosecute the claim that his this election has somehow been stolen from him. But as we've said repeatedly now, the judges who have heard some of these arguments so far have dismissed them out of hand as hearsay, mere speculation, lacking evidence. And that is the argument that the Trump campaign is running up against, the fact that they haven't really offered anything that judges can sink their teeth into other than this simple notion, this simple idea that the presidency has been stolen from Donald Trump. But CBS News projects that Joseph R. Biden Jr. has been elected the 46th president of the United States. I'm Stephen Portnoy. More just ahead as we continue a CBS News special report.